White. Sunnyside, Avondale, New South Wales, Australia. March 13th, 1896. Dear son Willie, I've sent you a short letter written in a hurry. I wish to state that after having more talk with brethren Prescott and Rousseau this morning, it was thought best for Rousseau to go to Newcastle and examine the registers and see if any record of Will McKnight's marriage could be found. We could not take his word that he has worked in an underhanded manner. Rousseau has just returned, and he says there is no register of marriage to be found. I learned that he says the girl is not pregnant. He takes all the blame upon himself, but he treats the matter as if it was not a great sin. Now we desire to know just what to do. He has been paid his wages up to within 2 weeks, but he has nothing to show for this except the wages of these weeks. We feel perplexed and grieved at heart. March 17th, Sunday. Brethren Prescott and Rousseau had another talk with Willie McKnight. He did not stay in the tent with Leonard Saturday or Sunday nights. Brother Connell went into the tent where Leonard lodges, and McKnight stretched and yawned as if just awakened. He had just come in the tent and put himself in bed. He came in very gently, thinking Leonard asleep. Leonard saw the farce. Connell saw his shoes all wet beside the bed. He declared that day to Prescott and Rousseau that he had slept in the tent Friday and Saturday nights. Connell, afterward talking with him, told him he did not do as he agreed and keep away from Bevan's, but came up at 5 o'clock. Said he, "Did you see me?" And then he told him he did not stay in the tent either night, for it was difficult to get away. Prescott and Rousseau had promised to let him have money to pay his £2 backboard, and then they would have him clear the counter and pay his fare to New Zealand. But he utterly refused to go to New Zealand and get out of the country. He has contracted to learn the dentist's trade of a dentist in Newcastle, so the stench is to be nearby to disgrace Seventh-day Adventists. And we refuse to pay his backboard bill. We have discharged him. He is paid today. He came to borrow a candle. Sarah was not in. Edith told him where they were in the storeroom. Sarah came in and saw him putting two or three in his coat pocket. He has taken melons and squashes, and I believe he must have taken that bag of beans. Well, what he has helped himself to, carrying to the Bevans family, will ever remain a mystery. Leonard has talked to him and told him the sin of such a course, but he has justified himself. Oh, it did not matter. It was nothing worth making a fuss about. He has been indolent, receiving his pay for work which he has not done, when we labored for him so hard, and then he confessed his guilt of adultery and deception, and continued just the same lying and stealing. I felt it was a gone cause. I pity his mother. March 18th. The letters sent have been read. I am feeling very sorry over the business matter with the lawyers, but we can only put our trust in God. Woe unto you, lawyers, said Christ. Luke 11, verse 52. He understood all about matters from the beginning to the end of the chapter. We must seek wisdom of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. Sarah and I had decided to go to Sydney on Wednesday and to remain over Sabbath and Sunday. I have concluded it best to purchase the Colson horse. She goes nicely with Jessie. They make a good span. The Maggie horse I cannot use at present. She was so lame with rheumatism. Connell put her, the Colson horse, beside Jessie to harrow. He said she was a little nervous, but draws steadily and strongly. I am sure she will do better than the McCullough horse as a mate for Jessie. She is in good condition and easily managed, and children can go all around her legs and handle her, and she does not harm them. I pay him just £6. She was offered to me for £5 10 shillings when she was so poor. The $2.50 does not make much difference. If I had done as I thought best after I bargained for her, that big horse of shows would not now be on my premises, and we not know what to do with her. Perhaps someone going from the meeting may take her back. We do not hitch her up at all. In regard to the meeting, I will do all I can do, but it is not best to have any conference be educated to look to and depend upon us. The camp meetings I dread, yet will do to my very uttermost. Changes for the better are taking place with me. The lower part of the spine is far less troublesome. The less care and perplexities I have, the more retired I can be, the better I am in health.
This terrible thing occurring or developing with McKnight has made me sick. He has gone now to Newcastle, left yesterday, and I am glad to see his face no more. He has stolen my tomatoes, put them in a bag, and carried them to Bevan's. We have scarcely had any for the family, but I have been kept supplied. Tomatoes and crackers, and quite often a piece of pumpkin pie is all I eat. I bought a box of Tasmania apples and a box of grapes from Newcastle. May enjoys fruit so much. We divide with her in the fruit line. The apples are excellent, and we will not have them used up, fearing we will not get as good. She and I do most of the eating of them. I have a very fine box of grapes from Whitehead's, $1 for 30 pounds. They are good, not spoiled, came in good condition. May and children shall share with me without cost to you. One of the family sleep with May nights, Sarah or May Israel. The whole family are doing well. I had Vivian's bill, 4 shillings for every shipment of fruit. He cannot afford to purchase and ship for less, but it is costly business for us in the fruit line, and we send for no more. We will see what we can do when we get to Sydney. Sarah takes down her wheel and will try to sell it or exchange for typewriter. Please ask Dr. Kellogg the name of the man from whom he bought the spectacle cases. Both have broken rims, so the glasses drop out. I am using an old pair of glasses and can see through them but dimly. This writing is poor, I know. I have been up since 2:15. Tell Dr. Kellogg to send a telegram to Brother Israel's address. I have no disposition to go on the water to America on any route. With much love, Mother.